We are here on New Moon for a special service. Today we are taking the subject, Michael the Archangel. There is some controversy in the Christian circles about who Michael the Archangel is. Today, I hope to be able to convince you, through the word of Yah, who Michael is. And so we need to start with John 1, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 1. Some would be inclined to say that this subject is not very important. But I want to tell you that this subject is extremely important. It will be important for us to understand the true character of Yah and really what it meant for him to give his only begotten Son to the world. John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. If we read further, we see who this is talking about. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was God. The Word was with God, being the only begotten of the Father. It was Yahshua Himself, or as some have found in the Old Testament, Little Yahweh. I wish I had that reference to share with you today. I didn't think of that. But there are references in the Old Testament to Little Yahweh. It is the Son of Yah, the Father and the Son. Michael the Archangel. We first read of Michael in the book of Daniel, and we would do well to turn there to Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10, and verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. There is a marginal translation for one of the chief princes, In the margin it says, the first of the chief princes. The first of the chief princes. Michael. What does the name Michael mean? It means, who is like Yah? Now we could put that in question form, who is like Yah? Or we could put it in a statement form, one who is like Yah. You see, the Son of Yah really reflects two things to us. He is one who is just like His Father. He is one who is like Yah. And also, because of His strength and righteousness and grace and mercy and all of His attributes, He poses the question, who is like Yah? There is none like Yah. So Michael, I'm implying, was the son of Yah. And let's see if he fills that supposition in Scripture. He is the first of the chief princes. Well, in heaven, there are chief princes, and without going into detail right now, there are basically seven of them that stand before the throne of Yah. The chief, or the first, of these princes is Michael. And it would make sense that it would be the son of the Father that would be the chief of the princes. Let's go to the next place. It's the name Michael is found in Daniel, verse 21, 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Your prince, speaking to Daniel. Michael is Daniel's prince. Who is our prince today? Who is the captain of our salvation? Who is the captain of the host? The chief prince. Well, of course, Yahshua is. So to Daniel, Michael was his prince. And then we turn to Daniel 12:1. And at that time, that is the time of the end, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the people, or the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people, that is Daniel's people, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, basically in, written in the book of life, written in the Lamb's book of life. Now some will say, see, Michael is a great prince at the end of time, when the great tribulation comes. And he will stand up for Daniel's people. Well, who are Daniel's people? We have studied Israel before. Who is Israel? It's the church. The true church is Israel. We are Daniel's people. All of those that are the seed of Abraham by faith, the children of faith, they are Daniel's people. Who are going to who is the one that's going to stand up for us? Who is our advocate? A lawyer stands up and presents the defense to the judge, doesn't he? He's called an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua, the Messiah, the righteous one. Michael was the great prince that would stand up for Daniel's people at the time of the end. Standing up for those that were retained in the book of life after the investigative judgment. Well, actually, he stands up for them during the judgment, and he continues standing up for them at the completion of the judgment. Who would this be other than the Son of God himself? Our prince. Now in Daniel 12, verse 1, he is called the great prince. In Daniel 10, 13, he's called the first of the chief princes. Who is he? Well, let's go to the New Testament and read in Jude 9. There's only one chapter in Jude, so it will be verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. When there's only one chapter, so it's Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending or arguing with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not or dared not bring against him a railing accusation or judgment, but said, Yah rebuke thee. Yah rebuke thee. So Michael, the archangel, had the authority to rebuke in the name of Yah. He had the authority to rebuke Satan in the name of Yah. Yahshua said, I have come in my Father's name. Yahshua. Yah is our Savior, or Yah is salvation. Michael, the great prince, Michael, the first of the chief princes, Michael, who represented Daniel as his prince, Michael the Archangel. I submit to you that these are all the same Michael. Well, the same spirit, the same mind, because I want to draw something here that may be new light to you. When the book of Daniel was written, the Messiah had not yet come. It was not fully understood by all of Israel exactly how the Messiah was going to come and how this deliverance would play out. The writer of the book of Daniel probably did not have a fully clear picture as to how the Son of God would come from heaven, be sacrificed, shed his blood, be resurrected the third day and such, and ascend back to heaven. We don't know exactly how much the writer really knew about that. But he looked forward to the deliverance of Michael, the great prince. We have seen in what we have read so far intercession or mediation, an advocate, one who stands for the people. We see intercession. We see Moses and Satan. Moses was dead. Satan was contending with Michael over the body of Moses. Why? Because Satan was arguing that Moses had sinned and did not have the right to eternal life. Michael, representing the Father, and rightfully so, being the son of Yah, argued in favor of Moses. Now, what is that but intercession? Michael was the mediator for Moses, even under the old covenant. Michael resurrected Moses and took him to heaven. What did Yahshua say when he was here on earth? I am the resurrection and the life. It is Yahshua who calls forth the dead from their graves. Michael, the archangel, called forth Moses from the grave. So we see that Michael had the power of resurrection, and he filled the office of advocate and intercessor. We see Yahshua coming and fulfilling the same position. We will come back to Daniel chapter 12 and talk about Michael there momentarily. But let's follow this line of thinking about intercession for a moment. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved or was proper for him to be made like unto his brethren. This is talking about Yahshua now. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Yah, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To stand for the people. A faithful high priest. This is Christ now. This is Christ Yahshua, the Messiah. He is a high priest, a faithful high priest, standing as intercessor for the people. Look at Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the bottom line of what I've been saying. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister or servant of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which Yah pitched and not man. This says that Yahshua is the high priest of the heavenly sanctuary. A great prince. And in chapter 9, we read verse 24. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ, that is the Messiah, is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures or patterns of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of Yah for us. To appear in the presence of Yah for us. That is standing for Daniel's people. Michael, the archangel. Michael, the great prince, the first of the chief princes. Michael must be the same entity or person as the Son of Yah, who came as a man, who came in likeness of sinful flesh to stand for the people, to intercede for the people. And to become their high priest, the great prince. Let's go further. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, or one Almighty One, and one mediator between Yah and men. The man, Christ Yahshua. There is one mediator between man and God. And it doesn't say God, who is Jesus Christ. It says the man, Yahshua, the Messiah. So, Yahshua became a man. The Word was God. And the Word was with God. And I'm suggesting to you today, and I'm saying with authority, really, that the Word was Michael, the archangel, the first of the chief princes. And he, the Father, gave his only begotten Son, Michael, who is like Yah, He gave Him for our sins. And not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Fully God, He became man. Being divine, He partook of humanity. Fully God, fully man. Emmanuel, God with us. The Almighty One with us and standing with us, standing for us in the judgment. And His biological name, when He became born of a virgin, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, there He is, Yahshua, the Son of Yah, as a man, as a human, in the flesh. And we're going to read about it here. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 first. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 23. For since by man came death, now what man, through what man came death? Adam. The man Adam. The first Adam. For since by Adam came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, it wasn't the first Adam that brought the resurrection of the dead. It was the second Adam. By man, death was brought into the world. By man, resurrection is brought into the world. The first Adam and the second Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in the Messiah shall all be made alive. Is that confusing? But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Christ, the first fruits. Did we read about the first of the chief princes, Michael? He was the first begotten of the Father in heaven. He was the first of the chief princes. In earth, He is the first fruits of the men. He is the man that brings the resurrection of the dead. Afterward, they that are Christ's at His coming. Every man in his order. Christ is listed there as a man. We cannot deny that the Messiah was fully man. And we cannot deny that the Messiah, being the Word, Michael the archangel, was fully divine. Having come from the very bosom of the Father. And then becoming a human being born of a woman. Born of a virgin. Having a heavenly father, an earthly mother. Let's read on to see the significance of what Yahshua did here. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Yahshua, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Cursed are they that hang on the cross. He became a curse for us. He who was in the form of God. Michael, the archangel, who is like Yah. Yes, he was in the form of God, but then he became in the form of man. When he became a man, he was no longer in the form of God. Is it hard to understand? God with us through the combination of humanity and divinity. We have Emmanuel, God with us. So, the Messiah is not identical to us in that he had a heavenly father and earthly mother. We have an earthly father and earthly mother. But he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, just as we are. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. The Bible says we ought to walk even as he walked. He has no advantage on us in living the righteous life. You see, basically, Yahshua began his life as a human being in the born-again state. We were sinners. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Yahshua said, "Ye must be born again." When we were born again, we put away childish things. We put away the old man. We partook of divinity. We became, as it were, God men and God women. Because just as Yahshua, in his divinity, before he was called Yahshua, the little Yahweh, Michael, the archangel, he, being divinity, stepped down and took on humanity. We, sinful humans, sinful human nature, being born again, reach up, taking his hand, partaking of his divinity, we become his brothers and sisters. And let's see what the Bible says about it. First, let's turn to Psalm 8, 4 and 5. Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Let me remind you that Christ, the Son of Yah, appeared in the Old Testament in angelic form. Do you recall when he appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18? Let's turn there. Now it says man is made a little lower than the angels, right? Let's go back over to Genesis for a moment. Genesis 18, starting with verse 1, and Yah appeared unto him, that is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, or O Yah, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Christ was there, one of the three, in angelic form now. Michael the archangel, in fact. Look at Hebrews 13:2 as a cross-reference. Hebrews 13:2. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that which suffer adversely as being yourselves also in the body. Perhaps, I got the wrong one. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And 1 Peter 4:9. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. I like the one in Hebrews 13:2 saying that we may entertain angels and even be unaware of it. So angels may manifest themselves in the form of a man. Christ was there in the visitation with Abraham. We remember another place in Genesis about chapter 32. And verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power with Yah and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is that that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen Yah face to face, and my life is preserved. There Christ was, wrestling as an angel with Jacob, Michael, the archangel. And so we read in the Psalms that man is created a little lower than the angels. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 now and read that chapter. Read there in chapter 2 of Hebrews once again. And we'll start this time with verse 6. And I will read completely there through verse 18. Hebrews 2, 6 through 18. But one in a certain place testified, saying this, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." That's from Psalm 8, 5 and 6. "Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." In other words, Yah, when he created Adam, he put everything under his dominion here. All the animals, all the plants, all of the earth is under the dominion of man. And yet, he's created a little lower than the angels. Continuing there, "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Yahshua," listen to this, "but we see Yahshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of Yah, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Captain of their salvation, the great prince. "For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one." One, Yah, the Father. "For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Listen to me, beloved. He's telling us there we have one Father. We have one Father. Yahshua's Father is our Father. We are of one. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Christ Himself is our brother, our elder brother. We have not, as the church, we have not viewed who we are properly. It's an abomination to say, "I'm only human." We sing the song, some sing the song, "I'm only human. I fail every day. Lord, give me the hope of salvation, even as a failure today." Blasphemy. "I'm a hopeless human. I have no power in this life." The Bible says, "We are more than conquerors in Christ Yahshua." The Bible says He's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we are having one Father together when we're born again. The Bible says that Yahshua was made a little lower than the angels. He's no longer Michael the archangel. He left his high estate from heaven. He left his position as the chief, or the first of the chief princes, to become a little lower than the angels and become our great high priest or our great prince. This is going to take us back to Daniel chapter 12 in a moment. Let's read on. What verse did I stop at here? Okay, verse 11. He's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church or the congregation will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which Yah hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, listen, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. Yahshua, who was Michael, the archangel, stepped down and became a little lower than the angels. He became a man, partook of the flesh and blood of the fallen children. Sinful flesh, partaking of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And in the death of the Messiah, in the death of the Son of the living God, the devil was destroyed. And all of his works with him. And yet the devil lives on. What did Yah say to Adam and Eve? Well, he said it to Adam. Adam gave it to Eve. In the day that you eat thereof of the forbidden fruit, ye shall surely die. The day they ate of that forbidden fruit, they surely died. Their spiritual life was stripped from them. In like manner, at the cross, when the Messiah was sacrificed there, shed his precious blood to wash away the sins of the world, the devil was destroyed. Even though he lived on. The power of the devil, the power of the wicked one, was destroyed forever right there. Verse 15. And deliver or set free them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Subject to bondage of guilt. Subject to bondage of sin, subject to the bondage of fear, the fear of death, not knowing what would be afterwards. For verily, verse 16, he took not on him the nature of angels. He didn't come as an angel, he came as a man, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Christ was a man. He stepped down from divinity, Michael, the archangel, the first of the chief princes. He stepped down to be a lowly man. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, or was proper for him, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Yah, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Oh, do you understand these words? These are powerful words I'm speaking through the Word here. For in that he himself has suffered, how did he suffer? Being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. Praise be to Yah. Yahshua was faithful to allow himself to be tempted in all points like as we, yet holding faithful to his Father. By faith he stood the test and paid the price as a spotless lamb. Now some will say, oh yes, and Jesus went back to heaven as the Son of God, reinstated, made the high priest, and he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords as the Son of God, just as he always was. It is not true. For God the Father gave his only begotten Son. He didn't loan him to us for 33 years, put him through the torture of the cross, and then snatch him back up out of the grave and take him home to live forever as it was before. No. Don't you believe it for a minute. If you believe that, you totally blaspheme the Father and the Son, and you don't understand the gift of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever might believe in him, whosoever might believe in this love that the Father and the Son gave, might have life, shall not perish, but have life everlasting. You cannot rightly understand the character of Yah until you understand what the Father and the Son gave up there when Michael, the first of the chief princes, the archangel, stepped down a little lower to become man. And you say, preacher, but he's going to come back with the shout of an archangel. He's going to be the archangel again. It says in Daniel 12:1, and we'll go back there right now. It says there that Daniel is going to stand up. Michael is going to stand up. And at that time shall Michael, the archangel. No, it didn't say that. It just says Michael shall stand up, the great prince. It doesn't say the first of the chief princes anymore. It just says the great prince, which standeth for the people. Yes, he will keep his name Michael. But now, instead of Michael the archangel, he is Michael the man. The Father gave his Son. And he will never have him back the way he was. He will never have him back as the archangel, as divinity only. He will have him back as the man, Michael, the Messiah, Yeshua. And you say, preacher, how do you know it? Acts chapter 1 tells us. Acts chapter 1. Well, I'm going to start at verse 6. Acts 1:6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not good for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, Yahshua's talking now, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Listen carefully now. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Who were they? The other two men. Remember the three that came to visit Abraham? There's two men now. One's missing. One's missing. Two men stood there in white apparel. And in verse 11, here's the key. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yahshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This same Yahshua, not a Yahshua changed back to Michael the Archangel. This same Yahshua, the man. God loved us and gave up His Son. He didn't loan His Son. He gave Him up. And He became a man. And the way He's rewarded is when all of the redeemed children come home and Yahshua and the rest of the redeemed host are there, the Father can say, I have seen of the travail of my soul and am satisfied. Dearly beloved, when you understand the love of Yah, you can't help but want to be one of His children. When you understand that the Father did not loan His Son for a few years and take Him home to have Him back again, when you understand that you and I are a part of Michael that the Father lost, and He longs to have His Son back. He longs to be with His Son again, but can never have Him like He had Him before. He can only have Him in the person of the redeemed saints, those for whom Christ died. Oh, what love. Oh, what grace. Who is like Yah? Who is like Yah? Tell me. Yahshua. Only Yahshua. First Thessalonians 4. Starting with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yahshua will Yah bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yahshua shall not precede them which are asleep. For Yahshua Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Yah, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And some might argue that the voice of the archangel will still be Christ because He's the resurrection and the life. I won't argue that. Christ will be the one. His voice will resurrect them. And it may be that this means the voice of the archangel. In other words, it's the voice of one who was the archangel. I'm not going to get into those arguments. Whether it's Gabriel, whether it's Christ Himself, it all fits either way. We know that Christ will call forth the dead. Verse 17, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahshua in the air. So shall we ever be with Yahshua. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For those of you who have never understood what it was for the Father to give His Son, I hope and pray that you've understood it more now. And in closing, I will give the story of the ants one more time. If there were two, a father and son, men, who designed to create an ant colony, and they did so. They created an ant colony, and after a time, something went wrong, and the ants began to fight one with another. The father and the son had shared in this design, in this project, and it was a very important project to them. But it appeared that it was going awry, and the ants were killing one another and losing their identity. And it looked as if they would totally destroy themselves. And the father and the son loved their creation. They loved the colony of ants. They did not create them to have them go awry and to have them kill each other and destroy themselves. They loved them and they wanted them to continue. And the son and the father looked at each other, and simultaneously the father said, "Son, I must let you go." At the same time the father says it, the son says, "Father, I must go." And they embrace for the last time. And the son becomes an ant. Goes among the ant colony, and the ant colony, some of them are impressed and some of them are offended, and eventually the ants converge upon the son, who has become an ant now, and they kill him. And the father says, "I'll bring him home." And he resurrects the ant and he brings him home. And there he has him in his hand. Never more like he was. But someday he looks forward to when all of the ant colony that heard the message from his son would come home. And then he would have his hands full of ants who responded to his love. I don't know if that's a very reasonable parable of the sacrifice of our father and our elder brother. But I tell you, this same Yahshua who you have seen ascending to heaven, the man, Yahshua, who is no longer Michael the archangel, will come to take us home. I hope and pray that you will return the love of Yah. For we love Him because He first loved us. And when we understand the depths of His love, it certainly should cause our love to go deeper. I invite you to fall in love with Yah and to exercise the love of Yah by keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. And joining with the bride who keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahshua. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have loved us with agape love, unconditional love. You have loved us with a love that no man has ever been able to imagine. Many men have given their sons to war. Many American fathers gave up their sons to go to the war. World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam War. Wars after wars, fathers have given their sons for the freedom of the nation, but always with the hope that they would receive their sons back at the resurrection. Father, You have given more. You have given Your Son without any hope of ever having Him back in the fullness, except as in the person of the redeemed saints, who Yahshua says, "I am not ashamed to call them brethren." Oh, what love! Oh, what a Savior! Who is like Yah? Michael, the man Yahshua, the Messiah. He is like Yah. Thank You for hearing us and blessing us. In Yahshua's name, Amen.